From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker faced skeptical questions on Capitol Hill today as they delivered a status report on the war. The message from the U.S. commander and the American ambassador: troop reductions will end in July, and it's uncertain when more troops can go home. They also said security gains in Iraq are, quote, fragile and reversible. The three leading presidential candidates sit on the Senate committees that heard from Petraeus and Crocker today.
One of those candidates joins us now, Senator Hillary Clinton of New York. She's on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Thanks so much for being with us again, Senator.
Thank you, Michelle.
Now, you said today that it is time, quote, to begin an orderly process of withdrawing troops from Iraq. Orderly process, beginning when military commanders seem to be suggesting that it's unwise to begin removing troops too soon.
Well, I think what we heard today actually supports my position, because this testimony once again speaks about progress, points to small baby steps that are blown into great advances without much evidence of that. And in fact, I think the sad truth is that the point of the surge to give the Iraqi government the space and time to do what it should do has not created that outcome at all. And therefore, I believe it's imperative that we start to plan for a withdrawal. I would do so as soon as I were elected president and start to actually withdraw troops within 60 days. And of course, I would consult with our Joint Chiefs of Staff and with our Secretary of Defense and our military leaders and security advisors. But the consultation would be about how best and how safely to withdraw troops, because I think that even General Petraeus has admitted that the Iraqis have not made the progress or taken the decisions that they were expected to do by this time, and there is no military solution.
But General Petraeus also said that it would be unwise to begin withdrawing troops before September. He said that you would need at least 140,000 troops on the ground then. If you're talking about beginning a withdrawal immediately after taking office, if you were elected, or even within 60 days, does that mean that you would be willing to force his hand if he stood to you and said that this is not a smart idea?
Well, that's why we have civilian control of the military. We have the greatest military in the world, and we have superb officers like General Petraeus and many others who are committed to carrying out the policies that the president sets forth. And there's no doubt in my mind that if the president changes the policy, we will get the very best guidance and advice from our military leaders in order to be able to implement that policy.
In assessing your stand on Iraq, voters listen to your words and they also look at your record. The LA Times recently analyzed congressional records and interviewed lawmakers and staff involved with Iraq legislation on the Hill, and their conclusion was that you've largely stayed on the sidelines instead of taking a real leadership position in pushing legislation that would force a troop withdrawal. Why haven't you taken more of an active lead in that area, not just introducing legislation,
well,
but following it through?
I disagree with that assessment. You know, I began talking about what we needed to do to change direction in Iraq at the end of 2005, as I recall. Up until that point, I was a very outspoken critic of many of the policies and their consequences. And I have, among a very small group of senators, voted against funding the war starting last summer and will do so again. You know, I can certainly point to a lot of the actions I've taken to try to be part of a democratic alternative to the policies that President Bush has remained consistent in executing despite their failures.
Now, you're out there working hard to win over voters. You're on a cell phone now, and I imagine that you may well be on your way to speak to some voters right now, even as we're having this conversation. But it appears that despite the battle to win votes, it's the superdelegates who may hold superpowers over the question of who actually gets the nomination. And I understand that you are burning the dial, trying to woo those superdelegates. So I'm just curious, what's the 60-second pitch?
That I have the strength and experience of a lifetime and of a unique perspective, being on both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, to hit the ground running, to be commander-in-chief, to be a good steward of the economy in the face of a recession, and that I am very ready and able to defeat John McCain. So if you're looking for who would be the best president and you're looking for who would be the best nominee to actually win in November. I believe that I am the person most likely to accomplish that.
There's one thing that's still a bit unclear, your view on the pledge delegates, not the superdelegates, but the folks that are awarded based on voting results. Surrogates from the campaign have said in the past that they're much like superdelegates. Does that mean that your campaign intends to push for pledge delegates, encourage them to switch sides, even at the convention, even if they've been awarded to a particular candidate based on voting results?
Well, you know, I think that there is some fundamental misunderstanding of, you know, the way this whole nominating process works. Every delegate has the right to choose whom they will vote for. And in fact, since neither Senator Obama nor myself will have enough delegates to win the nomination, and we won't know for some time, apparently, how both Florida and Michigan will be resolved, this is up in the air. And at the end of the day, there is no requirement that anybody do anything other than make their own best judgment. Now, obviously, you know, many people do follow the voting outcomes of the states where they have competed to become delegates, but we're still in the process of picking delegates. So this is a very fluid process, and that's why it's important to let it play itself out, let everybody vote, and let's see where we are at the end of the next 10 contests and the resolution of Michigan and Florida.
Senator, I want you to react to something that I keep hearing among voters and increasingly among people who cover the campaign, both those who are reporters and those who speak about the campaign on television, on radio, the statement that the only way that Hillary Clinton can win is if she's willing to win ugly. When you hear that, what does that mean to you? How do you react to that?
Well, I don't know what it means, because there's no way for Senator Obama to win unless he also obtains a significant number of superdelegates. You know, I understand that there has been, throughout this campaign, something of a double standard. I accept it. I live with it.
What is the double standard?
Well, I think that, you know, it's pretty obvious to anybody who has followed it.
Well, I don't want to assume. I just want you to tell me what you think the double standard is, because I don't want to assume.
But for example, why is the question directed at me? I mean, neither of us has the number of delegates to win. It is a problem for both of us. And Senator Obama's supporters refused to support a revote in Michigan, which I thought was rather odd for the Democratic Party to be against another vote. Senator Obama's supporters wanted to end this contest and short-circuit it so that the votes of the people in the next upcoming contest wouldn't count, because he has a slight lead, and it's by no means definitive. It would have been like calling, you know, the championship game last night with, you know, 2 minutes left to go because somebody was ahead, and that's not how it turned out. So, I mean, the question is often directed at me or my supporters, because obviously the other campaign has done a very good job of framing it that way, but the question can equally go to the other side. Where will you get the delegates to win?
Senator Clinton, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
That was Senator Hillary Clinton of New York.